Hey, thank you for downloading the Garden Fork Radio Show. My name is Eric. This is an eclectic DIY podcast. Thank you for checking us out if this is your first time. It's a rambling talk, and today I have my friend Rick here. Welcome, sir.
Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. We are on the clock because we're recording from Brooklyn. I'm in Brooklyn. Rick's in Virginia. And at 9:30, I have to go move the car for street cleaning rules. So
yeah, see, that's completely a foreign task for me. I just don't understand it. But I'll go along with whatever you want. We will make this a little shorter than usual, and some people might be thankful for that.
Yeah, less of Eric.
less of Rick. Yeah, it is Thanksgiving season. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was very low key this year. A lot of times, because we are we're a married couple but no children, we get invited. And I'm also very good at talking to parents and in-laws. So we get invited to like 3 Thanksgivings.
Oh, wow.
And we just kind of hit them, you know, we just kind of ping through them. But I'm always paired up with the father-in-law, you know, who is more than likely a retired fireman. Or something. And that's great, you know?
Yeah, so lots of stories.
We did, it wasn't a Thanksgiving, it was a pre-Thanksgiving dinner, and the father-in-law was there, and he is a retired fireman from New York City, but now he travels the world, and he has made friends around the world. It's kind of like my father, who grew up, you know, hardworking, pretty conservative, and then as they get older, their worldview widens. And becomes, wow, these people are interesting. They're not, you know, they're not the bad people that we thought earlier. So,
well, you know, that's what travel does for a person.
I think it's so important to, college, I went traveling, because my father had a bunch of air miles because for his work, he would travel a lot. So, he gave me a bunch of his air miles and I flew to Europe. By myself, and it was eye-opening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I kind of did the opposite thing. I went to the Far East, courtesy of the government.
Yeah, and, not by choice.
Not by choice. Walking tours of Vietnam were not fun, but, you know. What else is up here for today? You got iOS phone update.
Are you probably like my iPad and my phone are like, there's a new update. And I never update to the newest. The first time Apple issues a major upgrade, I don't update the phone because I wait for everyone else to find out what's wrong. And then they issue some, you know, it's like 10.3, 10.8 or whatever, you know.
Right.
And then
sometimes it's 10.3.1.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I figured, I read, I think it was in the Times, there's an article in the Times from their tech section. They have a really good technology and media section on the Times website. And there's a rumor out there, and I kind of believed it myself, that the phone companies force you to upgrade your phones because they issue these new hardware, these software updates that make the older phones run slower. And the Times investigated this, and they have a really deep tech section of reporters. And what they discovered is, first of all, it's a lot of the apps that make the older phones run slower.
Right.
And a good way to update your phone, an older phone especially like mine, is to back the phone up, back up your phone contacts and your pictures. You know, you should be doing that anyway. Wipe the phone clean. You know, you can do a clean, you can wipe it right from the control panel there, and then install the software first and nothing else, and then load in your pictures and your contacts and your apps again.
Yeah, when you wipe your phone, be sure to use a soft cloth.
Thank you, Rick. But the thing is, you're basically, if you're just doing an update, you just hit the button and says, yeah, update on the fly. There's a lot of bits and bytes and junk and ones and zeros that don't get cleaned up, and it can kludge up your phone.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the number one thing to do is restart frequently. You know, every phone, every electronics piece has a little bit of memory leak somewhere, and that will slow your phone down as it has less and less places to swap out memory. And so just reboot every now and then.
I'd love to reboot my brain now and then.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little foggy this morning myself. You know, there is, however, reason to update your Mac iOS system right now. There is a flaw they found in the programming, and you can actually just log in as root with no password and get full access to a lot of machines.
Yikes.
Yikes, yeah. And so there's a little tiny patch that's out. Just install it and reboot and save yourself a world of trouble.
All right.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, so I don't wait years to update. I wait until like the second iteration of a software or the major upgrade.
You know? So, well, you know, so many of these updates now are security updates that yes. I want to get on them pretty quick. I may not be the first one in line, but I'm not last either. I have gotten really security conscious over the years, and I did a digital detox. I stripped down I got rid of every account that I could find that I didn't need, didn't use anymore. I had an Instagram account. I'm not an Instagrammer. I don't have enough time to fool with it, so I killed that. I went into these accounts that collect a lot of information about you, or you get to put it in, you know, where you worked and where you've lived and who you know and all that. And I've stripped out as much of that as I can. And I've been running a VPN, virtual private network.
As am I. Yes, thanks to you, yeah. I'm running that now.
Excellent. So I'm running it both on my laptops and on our phones, and just trying to be a little more security conscious. Frankly, I just got a little PO'd. People were making so much money off of my information. So that's what really got me.
Another thing, since we're on this topic, my neighbor got their frequent flyer miles hacked because he was using a very old, like a Hotmail address, and he barely looked at his miles, you know, and he used this old Hotmail address that he didn't check often. And somebody hacked into it, his Hotmail account. I think it's Hotmail. I could be wrong about the server. And converted all his miles into iTunes cards and Amazon gift cards.
Ooh.
So that's how they drain them. They drain them out, you know, and those are pretty anonymous, I think.
Yeah, so, I bet so.
If you have some old email addresses, it might be time to update those passwords there. So, but let's go on to something more positive. The tube of sausage.
Most sausage I know of does come in a tube. Yes.
So I got this from Popular Mechanics magazine, and I am an occasional guest on their podcast. Super nice people there. The most useful podcast ever. But right. In part of their gifts section, and this isn't even on Amazon, guys, so I'm not shilling for my Amazon thing. But there's a company called Underground Meats in Wisconsin, and they have the gift tube, which looks like there might be a nice poster in this tube or something, but it's actually cured salamis and sausages and cheeses, pecans, chutney, and cornichons au vinaigre. That means a corn, vinegar and corn, basically.
Right.
$80, the gift tube of 2017. So go to undergroundmeats.com. They're in Wisconsin. I'm a big Wisconsin fan.
Yeah, no kidding.
My formative years were spent there, and Aaron from The Impatient Gardener lives there, and Will Wallace, who lives in Minnesota, has his weekend cabin in Wisconsin as well.
Wow. Yeah, when it says tube of sausage, does it come in like a Pringles can?
No, it looks like a brown, you know, kind of craft paper brown, and it has a nice gold label on it, but it's $80 shipping included. And I like cured meats. You know, I'm a Wisco boy.
Yeah, so. No kidding. Well, that's interesting.
So undergroundmeats.com. Yeah.
Yeah, a little free advertising for them.
Is the South known for any cure? Well, they do. They cure we hams. Do,
we cure hams, and we make a lot of sausage. Mostly it's what we make in the South is bootleg liquor.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, real quick here. I was wondering if you wanted to join the Garden Fork email list. It's Maura Eric. I don't know if you want that or not. But the best way to do that, if you go to the gardenfork.tv site, there are signups all over the place. There should be one on every page. Also, in the show notes for this show, if you're listening to it in the iTunes app or one of the other podcast app, to click on the little, I think you click on the little text thumbnail of the show and the notes will pop up and there's a link in there. Or just go to gardenfork.tv and there should be a sign up there. All right. Thank you. So to follow up with my homage to Wisconsin, on the PBS app on the Apple TV box, it's probably available on the PBS app on your iPad as well, there is a show called Wisconsin Foodie. And they there's a fella who's pretty well-spoken, just kind of your average guy with, you know, like kind of black horn-rim glasses. And he travels around Wisconsin interviewing and documenting the food culture of Wisco. And it's pretty cool. And it's just a very comfortable show to watch. And if you go to the PBS app and search for Wisconsin Foodie, you can watch it.
Yeah, it's amazing. We don't have cable, but I went over to spend Thanksgiving with a friend, and he has cable, and all he watches are food shows now. And there's a food show for everything. Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's a hot topic. It's great because people are learning to cook. They're learning to cook from scratch. You know, what is it at the commissary? They refer to the center of the aisles in the commissary as the food desert, and they're having a real hard time moving some of that stuff, which I think is wonderful. You know, the prepared foods and the overprocessed foods.
Yeah, there was yet another article I read about salt, and it says that most of your salt intake is from prepared foods. So
right, and they've really lowered the boom on sugar recently. I noticed there've been a couple of stories about how you know, sugar probably contributes a lot more to heart disease than they ever wanted us to know. And they kind of pointed the finger at fat, but turns out fat may be not so bad for us.
Yeah, our brains need it.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. So you've been shopping lately?
No, but I got my... Oh, I did send out in our email list a little holiday gift guide. I will be sending out several more. It's basically part of the way how we fund Garden Fork is through some affiliate links. Very good response from that. Thank you very much, everyone. But I also am a member of Costco, you know, the wholesale or warehouse shopping store. And I got their flyer the other day. And at least in the East Coast area, there is a LED, 4-foot LED shop light. And it's on sale for $19.99. And I thought, two of those, and you got yourself an LED grow light setup. We have several how to build grow light rig videos on Garden Fork. And right. with two of these, you could have something that doesn't draw a lot of power and is quiet. I mean, my fluorescent shop lights buzz sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So you could start your salad greens. You could start your garden gem tomatoes from Florida or whatever right. you want.
You know, speaking of those... the Garden Gem tomatoes from Kle Labs, K-L-E-E, at University of Florida. And they'll send you, give them make a little donation. They'll send you several packets of seeds, the newest seeds that they're working on. And we had the best harvest this year of tomatoes I've ever had. And just every year, it's better and better and better. I'm to the point I'm giving away tomatoes because we don't have a place to freeze anymore. And then I picked all the little green tomatoes after we had our first frost, and I put them in a gallon jug. And it turns out the mouth on the gallon jug is the same size. It's one of those sun tea jugs.
Yeah.
And it's the same size lid as my fermentation lid with the airlock on it.
Oh,
and
sweet.
So I put them all in the that I could get in there and fermented them. And now I have green tomato pickles. And they are so good.
Wow. It's like, it's 1,001 uses for green tomatoes. That's a new book for you.
Yeah. No kidding. Used to be I would make salsa verde with them. But this year I just wanted to try the green tomato pickles, and it's a lot easier than making a whole bunch of salsa.
Cool. I've got some really great feedback lately on some of the videos. I made one about my my favorite mini greenhouse or mini hoop house kind of collapsed. And I
saw that, yeah.
And I thought, why don't I just ask everyone for their ideas? Because I was like, how can I make this better, rigid, you know? And it was like 90 comments in the first couple of hours of posting the video. And that was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, your audio dropped down just a little bit.
Oh, just right now?
Just as you started on that little spiel.
Oh, am I here? Am I back again?
Not yet.
How about that?
Nope.
No.
Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the circuit. I don't know. It's electronic. Kick it. No, you're back now. You're back now. That was good.
All right. So on the with the hoop house, I was trying to figure out how to make the sidewalls more rigid, and people were suggesting the twin wall polycarbonate, which is used in greenhouses, marine grade plywood or plywood that has been painted with a waterproofing paint or material, and a couple people suggested this lightweight tile backer board, which I have seen in the home improvement stores, and I'm going to check it out. I'm going to see how waterproof it is. I mean, it's supposed to be water resistant because it's with tile in a bathroom, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to see about that, but that's some really great ideas, and I really appreciate people doing some feedback on that. And that was kind of cool. I've also got some great emails lately and a couple of new patrons on our Patreon campaign. And I'll talk about those in our next podcast. So,
okay. You know, when I had my aquaponics set up, I had a greenhouse and I put a tent inside the greenhouse, like the grow,
like a little greenhouse, like a little mini hoop house.
A little mini hoop house. That's what I was trying to say. And it was amazing. It really bringing the temperatures up over that bed. So, sometimes a tent inside a tent is not a bad idea.
Elliot Coleman does that. He has the Four Season Gardener.
Uh-huh.
And he gardens up in Maine. And I'm pretty sure, I think he's the one that does that. Someone's yelling back at the podcast right now. So, radio@gardenfork.tv is our email address, by the way.
Now, I heard you got a new iPad.
Yeah, it's.
I didn't know you didn't have one.
They're just great. I just kind of like. Now I carry it everywhere with me.
Yeah, I.
They're a great. That's a great Christmas gift for, especially if your parents might not be tech savvy. Getting them an iPad is a great way to move them into that world.
Yeah, I bought myself one that She Who Must Be Obeyed will wrap up for me at Christmas time. But I bought one of these new, it's a sheet of tempered glass that you put over the top of it. And it's like a protector, but it's tempered glass. And it's supposed to keep it from breaking so easily. But I was trying to figure out how that actually worked because it doesn't suspend itself above the face of the iPad. It's in full continuous contact. And so I can see how it would keep things from scratching it, but as far as actually protecting it from an impact of some sort, I can't figure out how that works. But I bought it anyway because I want to take care of my new iPad. Usually I don't buy them new.
Yep.
I'll go to one of the resellers. I can't think of one now, but there are a bunch of them. And they act as kind of a middleman between you and another buyer. And they'll advertise them and you buy them. And I usually get my phones that way. But I wanted a new iPad Pro and I wanted it, you know, pristine out of the box this time.
Well, you deserve that.
I think so. Okay. Well, listen, I need to go and I know you got to go move your car.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Can you just drive around the block or do you not know when they come back?
Well, there's a set time. It's from 8:30 to 10.
Oh, okay.
So at 8:15, I double park on the opposite side of the street. And then the polite people put their cell phone number on the dashboard. Because if you're blocking someone in and they're not prepared and all of a sudden they have to leave, instead of honking on their horn forever.
Yeah.
we get a lot of people that double park on our block, and they work on the avenue. We're right off of Commercial Avenue here. So, and they don't put their phone number in there. So, but then you, so the, it's not dependent on the street cleaner. When the street cleaner machine comes through, it doesn't mean I can move the car back. You're supposed to move your car back at 10 o'clock, but everyone starts moving them at 9:30. And if you're not there at 9:30, the street fills up very quickly. So
it's a crazy life you live.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't complain though. It keeps me busy. So
that's great.
I mean, I like the yin and yang of the city and the country. And
yeah.
Oh, and next, our next podcast will feature a neighbor of mine, Brendan, who watches Garden Fork, and I met in the park the other day.
And oh, wow.
He's built an improved version of the maple syrup evaporator.
Excellent. Is it going to be a video or the or a talk?
It'll be a talk, but he's up in another part of, he's on the other side of the Hudson. So for me to get over there from my house upstate is a little difficult. So I might drive up first from the city and take a look at this rig. And I'd like to make a video about his evaporator because it's a brilliant improvement on mine. So I was pretty excited.
So is this one of those cases where somebody just walked up and says, I know you?
Yes. Which is always a little weird.
Yeah. Which is the reason we never see the camera operator.
Yeah.
No, if you don't hear her speak, you'll never figure out who she is.
Well, Brendan said, he said, you know, because we were walking, both walking our dogs in the park, and I was talking to my dogs or my wife or something. And he said, you know, I didn't see you at first, but I heard your voice. And he said, and I recognized the voice. So, you know, that nasally Eric tone.
That very, no, very distinctive, very manly.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll let you go. You have a great week, my friend.
All right, you too. And I will list all the things we talked about here. And as always, it's radio@gardenfork.tv. And we have an email newsletter. If you just go to the Garden Fork site, anywhere on there is going to be a sign up, gardenfork.tv. All right. Thanks, everybody.
See you later. Bye-bye.
Garden Fork's theme music is used under license from uniquetracks.com.